Utah Jazz tested positive.
I'm excited about this new series that we're beginning today called Together. Man, after 2020, being together just seems like it is all the sweeter to us. A couple of weeks ago was Vacation Bible School, and man, we had great energy and a great crowd. It was a blast. This past week, I made a quick trip down to Ridgecrest, North Carolina, to hang out with our students who were at camp. There were over 1,000 students there, and man, it was so fun to watch them worshiping together and to see the experience they had. On June the 6th was our big barbecue bash. Do you realize that was the first meal that we had as a church family in 15 months? That was so good, and not just because the barbecue was so good, but it's so good to be together. And you just look around, and I don't know about you, but it just seems like everybody is going to ball games. The families are off on vacations, and people are experiencing all kinds of opportunities to gather together. You'd almost think that for some reason we missed gathering together in the previous year. It feels so good to be together. In fact, the truth is, you were made for this. You were made for being together. Did you know that? You go back to page one of the Bible, the creation story, and if you read through the text, you'll begin to see that it is all about being together. Genesis chapter 1, remember what God said? It says that God said, "Let us create man in our image." You know, God could have just said, "I'm going to make man like me." Have you ever stopped to ask yourself the question, why in the world did God say it like this? Us and our, let us create man in our image. Well, of course, it illustrates the Trinity, how God exists in this perfect interpersonal world of relationship that exists in the Godhead. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. We were then created in the image of this relational being. We were created for relationship. Not only that, when you get to Genesis chapter 2, that's the very first time that God ever looks at something and says, "Oh, this is not good. This is not good." Do you remember what it was? God looked at Adam and said, "It is not good for the man to be alone." The loss of togetherness is significant. The loss or lack of togetherness, it's just not good for you. It's not good for me. We are all better together. You see it right in creation. The story goes on. Genesis chapter 3, Genesis chapter 4, it's all about the fall. And one of the consequences of the fall is the loss of togetherness. After the fall, you never do read again about Adam and Eve walking with God in the cool of the day. Never again. Togetherness was lost. After the fall, shame and blame enters into the relationship of the first couple. Before, they were together and they felt no shame, but then they're pointing fingers at one another. After the fall, Cain rises up and kills his brother Abel. And the consequence of sin, if you read those chapters about the fall, and then there's always the curse, which is the consequence of our sin, all of the consequence circles around this loss of togetherness. They are cut off. Always. The loss of togetherness. It happens between Adam and God. It happens between Adam and Eve. It happens between Cain and everyone. You see, it's just not good when we lose togetherness, because we were created for relationship. It is wired into your DNA to be a relational being. So how do you do that? How do we do togetherness? How do we experience togetherness? Well, that's going to be our focus through all of the summer. We're going to basically be unpacking this idea. What does it really take for us to experience authentic togetherness like God intended for us to experience? And so with that theme today, as we begin talking about being together, I thought, well, we ought to maybe just do it together as well. And so let me introduce my partner in ministry, my co-teacher today, Pastor Steve Buttram. If you would give him a warm welcome for his maiden voyage. Well, Pastor Steve has been here for quite some time. Let me just give you a quick introduction for those of you that don't know him. Steve has spent 30 years in television and cable and sales.
I started when I was three, by the way. I'm only 33 years old, so just so you know.
And he also lies occasionally.
A little bit.
Steve came to New Work Fellowship in the year 2009. He joined our pastoral team on March 11th, 2020.
Some of y'all already know what he's about to say next, don't you?
2 days later, we shut down the church.
For the record, I offered to quit after that. Just so, you know, if we could come back together, I would quit. So,
Steve is husband to Tracy and father to Nathan and Zach and Hannah. And he's also a dear friend. He is a college student. He is enrolled and working diligently on his degree at Colorado Christian University. And what's your major?
Biblical studies. Actually, ironically about this is that the very program that I'm in right now was started by a guy you know, Kevin Lee. The program was started by Kevin Lee when he lived in Colorado. So, yeah. So I'm, you know, the last time I took a college class, there was a Clinton in the office. So I'm not the oldest, but I'm close.
Steve serves here as assistant pastor. His area of responsibility is pastoral care in small groups. And so as we're talking about together, I think it's only appropriate that we could recognize him as the together pastor. And it's really good that we have at least one that has it together.
I don't know that I'm the one you should probably label as having it together, but okay, we'll go with that. Thank you a lot, Kevin. I really appreciate the kind words. It is a real privilege to serve with Kevin and the rest of the team. And you hear leadership is partnership, leadership is partnership. I've been here over 15 months on this team. And let me tell you something, I'm living that. I see that. I believe that because it's practiced continually at the office. And if I haven't had a chance to meet you in person or if you haven't had a chance to meet Kevin, we're going to be in the Next Steps area after this service. We're going to be there together. 8 o'clock didn't get it either. See what I did there, together? Okay. So we want to do that. But we want you to be together as well. So fill out that digital connect card. If you're in the room with us, if you're online, whatever it is, there's a QR code that'll appear on the screen. Or if you're in the room with us, there's some on the back of the chairs in front of you. That will give you access not only to the digital connect card, you can fill out your prayer request. You can put, if you'd like to talk to a pastor on that card, you also get access to the sermon listening guide. And so what it really does, too, is if you're a first or second time guest, and I know I got a couple here that are here with my family, when you fill that out, we give a $10 donation to a local ministry here. So please make sure you fill out that digital connect card this morning.
So as you're filling out your digital connect card, let me also invite you to turn with us in your Bibles to the Gospel of Mark, Mark chapter 6. So as we're talking about what does it take for us really to do togetherness like God designed us to, what does it take? The first thing is it takes time. You will not experience togetherness without the investment of time. We do not reap the harvest of togetherness unless we commit ourselves to spending time together. And when you spend time with someone, essentially you are communicating to that individual, I value you. You matter to me. And so you have to begin by spending time. And you can see that modeled by Jesus, not only in the passage that we're going to be looking at today, but all through the Gospels. You see that theme come up over and over again. In Matthew chapter 10, it says Jesus called his 12 disciples together, and then he began to teach them. In Mark 4, when he was alone with his disciples, he explained everything to them. In Luke chapter 9, it says Jesus left the crowds to pray alone Only his disciples were with him. Do you see it? Do you get it? If you value something, you spend time investing your time in others. So togetherness is the strategic use of your time. Now, it is Father's Day, and dads, listen, the greatest gift that you can give to your kids, to your grandkids, to anyone that you're mentoring, that you're pouring your life into, is you give them your time because you are communicating to them that they are valued. Togetherness is the strategic use of your time. So that's what we're going to unpack today. How do you become time strategic? So would you follow along as Steve reads for us, Mark 6, beginning with verse 30.
So the apostles returned to Jesus from their ministry tour and told him all they had done and taught. And Jesus said, "Let's go off by ourselves to a quiet place and rest a while." He said this because there were so many people coming and going that Jesus and his apostles didn't even have time to eat. Hey, time is something we all agree in this room we don't have enough of, right? As we agree in Mark 6:31, Jesus takes time with his apostles, and time was an issue for them as well. Jesus had a lot going on. Just in this context of this passage, he's just been rejected at Nazareth. He just found out his friend, cousin, and the guy that baptized him has been beheaded in John the Baptist. The apostles are back from their ministry tour, and we know what divas they could have been. So they were back to telling him everything. And here's the other part. 5,000 people, you think traffic's bad now, 5,000 people are showing up at the same time. Jesus literally didn't have time for anyone at all. Sound familiar? Sound a little too familiar? Hey, so we have the Buttram family calendar, and you get to see it there on your screen. That's an example of it. It's a lot. It is a lot. So that my work trips are on there. Mom stuff is on there. Zach's schedule, Hannah's schedule. Our dog Annabelle, on her spa day, gets an entry on the calendar.
Spa day.
Yes, our dog has a spa day. My guys over here are laughing because some of them have taken her to the spa day. If Jesus struggled to get alone time with his apostles, how are we even supposed to try and attempt it? Togetherness takes time. But we have to use time wisely. And how do we use time wisely? Well, let me give you this idea. What you value, you're going to spend time on. Notice I didn't say make time for. You literally cannot make time. And here's the first strategic time lesson. Time is limited. That's why it's precious. It's also a finite resource. But here's the good news. It has infinite possibilities. Remember when it seemed like Christmas took forever to get here? When Nathan was a little young kid, he was like, "Christmas is never coming. It's never going to get here." I'm like, "Son, it's November. I don't care, Dad. It's never going to be here." But as we get older, time speeds up just a little bit. All right, June 20th. Guess what? Y'all are not going to like this part. There are only 188 days till Christmas morning.
Oh, man.
I hope you have your shopping started. If you need my list, I'll be in the next steps area after this. 2021 is literally halfway over. Over. On Father's Day, we think of the time we got to spend with our dads. Honestly, sometimes that time's not a positive memory. But others are fond memories that we wish we could do all over again. Dads, let me speak to you for just a second, very specifically. You have limited time, just like everybody else. And yet we, as dads and as believers, have to take time to pour into not only our children, our grandchildren, and people in our lives that we want to impact for the kingdom of God. Just 2 weeks ago, actually, seems like last week, but 2 weeks ago, we had over 90-something people show up in this building 5 days in a row to invest their time in children for Vacation Bible School. Every one of those people, by showing up and being here, were saying, "The next generation matters."
Amen.
Faith matters. It's worth the time investment. It's strategic. Listen, Jesus could have been doing 1,000 other things. He could have worked hundreds more miracles. But what he did was strategically decide to stop and spend time with his disciples. It was a priority. You can't make time. You can't get more time. All the time you have is right now. David wrote in Psalm 39, verse 4, he said, Lord, remind me how brief my time on earth will be. In the Hebrew, it literally translates, Lord, make me know my end. Live with an awareness that there is an end. You know what makes something precious or treasure? Scarcity. Now, I don't know about your backyard, but in my backyard, I can't go dig up shovels of gold and bring them into the house. If you can in your backyard, I'd like to see your address once we're done here. But it's because it's rare. You can't get more, and nothing is more precious than time. You can't get more. And in honest truth, ladies and gentlemen, we don't know how much or how little we have left. Treasure the gift of time. Again, if you show me what you're spending your time on, I can show you what you truly value.
You know, I think that's why the Apostle Paul in the book of Ephesians writes this instruction. He says, so be careful how you live. Don't live like fools, but like those who are wise. Make the most of every opportunity in these evil days. And every day is indeed an opportunity. Amen. Today is an opportunity for every one of you. So you begin where you are. Listen, as this week has been moving towards Father's Day, I've been spending a lot of time thinking about my own dad. My dad is now 90 years old. He is the oldest male Lee that we know of in my family history. And I'm just like, go, Dad, go, Dad, go. You know, and he just keeps going. He's like the Energizer Bunny. But thinking about my dad and thinking about this message on time, you know, the thought hit me. I don't remember a whole lot of specific times with Dad. Dad kind of grew up in that generation where being a good dad, being a good father, meant primarily you be a good provider for your family. And man, Dad was faithful with that. He was faithful provider, and he was always taking care of the family. But there were some of those moments that I do have that are special memories of time that we spent together. For example, one of those involves a water fight. And I think the reason I remember that is because it was so out of character. I remember this one moment where, you know, Dad is chasing us with buckets of water, and I step and open the door to the house thinking that's going to be my shield. And my dad rushes up with this pail of water and just splash, hits me, it goes into the house. And I just remember, couldn't believe that he did that. You know, it was a special moment. I remember a fishing trip that we went on, one fishing trip that we went on. I remember when I was early in college, my dad had a client that he worked with that every year worked at the Indianapolis 500. And 3 years in a row, this client enabled my dad to have two tickets for that event. And so 3 years in a row, Dad took one of his sons. The first year I was able to go. The next year, my younger brother Tim was able to go. And then the following year, my older brother Steve was able to go. Now the year that I went was 1982, and it was a remarkable race. And in fact, I want you to see the last lap of that race. So watch this video.
And Mears is right there, the white flag. It's a drag race. They're side by side. Johncock and Mears. Mears on the inside. Johncock. Mears forced down the middle line. Run.
Johncock cuts him off. Hey, this looks like the start of this race. Johncock, then Mears, they're in turn two.
Now, Gordy pulls away a little bit as Mears gets a little squirrely in turn number two. They're on the back stretch. It's still Gordon Johncock.
Mears is trying, but he's about 10 car lengths behind as they streak down this 5/8 of a mile back stretch to turn three.
Less than half a lap ago, Gordy Johncock by 5 car lengths over Rick Mears. They're in the north short shoot. Here they come. This is the final quarter lap. Johncock maintains the lead. The voice of the 500, Paul Page. Who's going to win it?
Gordon Johncock off the fourth turn. Mears is right behind him. Johncock, Mears makes a try. Johncock wins it by less than 1/10 of a second.
When that race came to the end, it was 1/16 of a second difference between first place and second place. You talk about making the most of your time, 1/16 of a second. That memory is frozen in my head. But let me tell you, it's not because of what an amazing race it was. It's because I was with my dad. just me and him. And it became a treasure. Listen, dads, you have an opportunity to make an investment.
Amen.
Right now. You need to understand time is limited. That's why it is precious.
So a little bit about my dad. My dad was a truck driver, not the long haul kind, right? He was home every night. But when I was a kid growing up, every Friday night when dad would get home and mom would get off work from the sewing plant she worked at, we would go buy groceries together as a family. Now, I know, super exciting, right? But before then, we would go to eat at the KFC in Anniston, Alabama. Back then, kids, we called it Kentucky Fried Chicken. But it was next door to Gold Post Barbecue. I don't know why we never went to the barbecue place. So somebody asked me that after the other service. But it had this iconic sign, and my brother and I would spend hours while we ate meal with our parents watching this sign. I have a video of my favorite memory as well. So check this out. Yep. That's it. Different angle. Still kicking.
He's pretty accurate.
He is. He's actually was recruited by Nick Saban for the past 4 years. Still kicks it. Hey, listen, I don't. I hate to spoil this for you guys, but he never misses, by the way. He never misses. He actually moved. The original barbecue place is torn down. It was such an iconic sign. They moved it to a new place down the street. Listen, that's not the Indianapolis 500 or the Penny Royal 500, for that matter. It's not exciting. It's not super fat close finishes. But you know what it was? It was time. Mm-hmm. It was time. We would finish eating, and we would go as a family. We would buy groceries, and then we would go home, and we'd unpack those groceries. As a matter of fact, I never realized how big of a deal that was. When I was writing this sermon, I realized I do the same thing now as a dad. Now, my kids are much older, but we would do the same similar thing on Saturday morning. We'd wake the kids up. They loved it, by the way. And two of them are not shaking. They're shaking their heads. We would wake the kids up early on Saturday morning. No cartoons. We're going to get breakfast. We're going to go to the farmer's market. We're going to go to some Amish markets. We're going to go buy groceries. We're going to come home. We're going to put it. It's going to be great. It was time. And I hope in the generation after me, they see the value of it. When my parents divorced, that time stopped. Life was different. Relationships were different. Guys, listen when I say, when you don't spend meaningful, purposeful time with people important in your life, those relationships will change too. That brings us to our second strategic lesson about time. Time flies. But you are the pilot. You are the pilot. You're in control. Notice what it said in our text in verse 31, the very first part. Jesus said, let's go off by ourselves. He made it happen. All those things going on, Jesus decided to pilot his own time. And that's so important for us today. Again, in Psalm 39, but look at verse 6. He says, we are merely moving shadows, and all of our busy rushing ends in nothing. Busy rushing? Sound like anybody you know? Look like my calendar? Again, in the Hebrew, the idea is that we're just making a vain show. You're not really accomplishing anything, but you're just putting up a nice show. Ouch. You ever feel that way? You ever feel like life's just one big old blur? Listen, let me encourage you. Time does not have a mind of its own. Time does exactly what you tell it to do. How are you using your time? Is God getting any of it? Begin with chair time. Listen, you guys have been going here for any length of time. Kevin, you know, loves chair time, talks about chair time. Well, let me just echo the importance of it. Let me tell you what it did in my life. When I came here to Newark in 2009, and we made the decision to join with this church, I had never read the Bible from cover to cover. Now, I'd read several books, the easier ones, you know, done some Bible studies, enough to stay churchy, if you will. I'd never done it from cover to cover. I did it for the first time here, and I'm doing it again this year in our Read the Bible Through. And now I long for my time with God. I long for my chair time. Honestly, sometimes chair time's not in a chair. I know, right? Sometimes it's laying on the bed, sitting up in the bed. Sometimes it's in the car waiting for the next meeting, but it is still my time. Sometimes for me, it's at home in my home office. Sometimes it's in a hotel room. But it is still an important thing in my day. If I have an unusually early start to my day, I have unusually earlier chair time. It's important to us. So how do you do it? How do you, you know, Steve, I don't even have a nice chair. Great. Start with 10 minutes. 10 minutes. You're going to look at social media for 10 minutes. All of you that get your screen time reports during this service, y'all know what I'm talking about. I know how many iPhone users we have now by the gauge of that laughter. Start with 10 minutes. Just read the Bible and pray. Give God his allotment of time. Not just chair time. There's also this attending church thing. Hebrews 10:25 said, "Let us not neglect our meeting together." I love the way the King James says, "Let's not forsake meeting together, as some people do, but encourage one another." When we gather together, when we're here together in person, we experience God's presence. When we gather and we worship together, we are encouraging one another. And you know how God talks about comforting people, and he's always comforting people? You know how he does that? With other people together. Think about this for a second. Jesus, God in the flesh, attended synagogue. It was his custom. Maybe I should be present too. Maybe you should be present too. And let me say, if you really want to get connected, if you really want to get connected, you need to find, everybody know what I'm about to say next?
Small group.
You, come on, more. Even 8 o'clock was more excited about it. You need to find your small group. Hey, the worship experience in this room or even online is amazing. They do a phenomenal job every week, making it just absolutely astonishing as they're here. But even when they had no audience with COVID, the praise team led us into worship at our homes individually. Well, hey, everybody can show up. We can sit here and we can soak it up. That's easy. Church becomes a checklist item. But connection and relationship happen best in small groups. And let me tell you, we have several for you to join in right now. You can join in. There's two in the next service you can join in. Wednesday nights are our option. There's even more coming in the fall. You can go to our website. You can go to our app. You can email me directly, steve@newworkfellowship.com. Or meet me in the Next Steps area after this service, and I'll show you some of the options available to you. But the thing you need to remember is simply this: time flies, but you're still the pilot.
And if you are the pilot, then let me just say this. You need to understand that time is yours. Therefore, you have to be the one to make it behave. Think about this. Before God ever gave his people the promised land, remember the story of the Exodus and all of that? Before God ever gave them the promised land, God gave them a calendar. Did you know that? Think back to when you were reading through Leviticus. Everybody enjoyed that in their chair time, didn't
Absolutely.
They,
Absolutely. This is my favorite one.
People just wait with great anticipation for that. Leviticus, so much of that's about feasts and festivals, the seasons of life. God is teaching them about the rhythms of life. He is giving them the gift of a calendar, and a calendar becomes a tool that you can use to make your time behave. Listen, you've heard me talk before about life planning and what an impact that had in my own life. One of the things that I learned more than anything else in that season of life planning and looking at the use of my time was the importance of recognizing that time is a treasure. It's not something that I just want to spend, waste, or kill. It's something I want to invest. And the way I invested is by putting those important times on my calendar. When something really matters, you're going to invest time in it. For example, if you have a really important appointment, chances are you're going to write it on a calendar somewhere, some way, maybe on your phone like I do. And if it's really important, you're even going to set a reminder, a timer that'll go off. Or if it's really, really important, you might even have two reminders. I do that all the time because I don't want to miss something. If something's important, I'm going to put it on my calendar, and my calendar helps me to make sure that my time behaves. So let me ask you a question. What's on your calendar? Because here's the thing. If you're not putting things on your calendar, you're basically saying that isn't important. If it's not on your calendar, it's not important. So put the most important things on your calendar. For example, What about your time with God, like Steve talked about? Does that show up anywhere on your calendar? Or is it, yeah, I'll do it if I get to it? If it's important, put it on your calendar. What about service in the kingdom of God? What about serving his church, the bride? Is that important to you? If it is, you'll put it on your calendar. If it's not on my calendar, I'm saying it's not important. Or how important are the most important relationships in your life? Do you really invest those times and put that on your calendar? Or do you think, well, I'll just get around to it? Because you know as well as I do, sometimes we don't get around to it. So put it on your calendar. What about money? Does money matter to you? Where in your calendar does fiscal stewardship show up, where you're going to take the time to do what matters because God has blessed you to be a blessing? In other words, listen, don't just live life as a blur.
You know, apparently Jesus lived a lot like us. It said at the end of verse 31, they didn't even have time to eat. When I'm on the road, I'm taking classes in my hotel room, I'm keeping up with my family, I feel like I don't have time for anything else. I'm just overwhelmed. Time just keeps coming. It just keeps coming. But what matters to me makes its way on my calendar. Give you an example. My oldest son and his family, they live in Nashville. So it's kind of hard to do Sunday dinner every week. But once a month, on the calendar, we have dinner or lunch. I don't even know what we call it anymore. Y'all are coming, we're going to eat. That's what we have. But that happens once a month because I want to spend that time investing in my son and his family. I want to spend that time investing in my own family. And you know what? Like Kevin said, it's on my calendar. We want to make a difference. Every one of you in here want to make a difference, a positive difference in the world. We want to make a positive impact. But we have to invest our time in what truly matters. That's why as a church, we say we exist so that every man, woman, and child can go as the body of Christ. That's just a time investment. That's an investment in time. We have a mission team leaving next Sunday. I better know because I'm going. leaving next Sunday. But you don't have to go on a mission trip to invest in time or to serve. Get in that small group we talked about. Janie Pitts, our missions mobilizer, sends out an email every month to all of the mission coordinators in the small groups telling them what there's some mission opportunities here locally we can do. And if there's a need in our community, I promise you, Janie finds it and equips us to meet it. But I would imagine every one of you know of a need that Janie doesn't know of yet. And maybe that's just a meal with a neighbor. Maybe it's cutting your neighbor's grass. Maybe it's a cup of coffee and a friendly conversation. When you do that, when you're serving others, you're serving Jesus. Paul reminds us and encourages us in Galatians chapter 6, verse 9, this way. He says, "So let's not get tired of doing what is good. At just the right time, we will reap a harvest of blessing if we don't give up." Like Kevin said, time is yours. Make it behave.
And one last strategic lesson that comes right out of the text. Time is life. Enjoy it. Mm-hmm. If you look back at the text and look at what happens in the very next verse with Jesus and the disciples, it says this at the beginning of verse 32. "So they left by boat for a quiet place where they could be alone." I love that. They left by boat. Nothing wrong with a little boat time, is there? What a refreshing way to experience the moment of life. They left by boat to a quiet place. Time is life. Enjoy it. It's a gift. You know, several years ago, I remember one Father's Day weekend when we decided as a family we were going to go out to Lake Barkley and rent a boat. Now, I'm not boat people. I just wear fisherman shirts. I don't really know boats that well. And so we rented a pontoon boat. And man, we had so much fun all day just tooling around on the lake trying to catch fish, and we weren't very successful swimming. But you know, my girls, they're like, "There's stuff in the water. I don't want to swim in that." But we had a great day. But then the day ended with that one terrifying moment. You know what that one terrifying moment was? Do you know how hard it is to park a boat at a dock? I'm sure I was entertainment for a lot of people. Forward, back. It was terrifying, but you know what was special about that day was the time that we spent. Yeah. Time is life. Enjoy it. Isn't that what the Bible tells us? The psalmist said this, "This is the day the Lord has made, and I will rejoice in it." Old wise King Solomon had something to say about the value of time when he wrote, "Young people, it's wonderful to be young. Enjoy every minute of it. Do everything you want to do. Take it all in. But remember that you must give an account to God for everything you do. Don't let the excitement of youth cause you to forget your Creator. Honor Him in your youth before you grow old." In other words, life is a gift. You can't get more of time. You can't earn more time. You only receive it. And the truth for all of us, no matter how much time you've had, time is short, life is short. But eternity is forever. And so Solomon says, while you're enjoying the gift of now, keep your focus on eternity. The Bible puts it this way in 2 Corinthians. God says, "At just the right time I heard you. On the day of salvation I helped you. Indeed, the right time is now. Today is the day of salvation." In other words, right now, in the moment of now, in this instant, you can step your foot into eternity. Let me ask you, have you put your trust in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? Have you made that personal commitment of your life to Him? There is nothing more important than you could do with this moment right now than to make that confession. Have you repented of your sin? Listen, we all have broken history, but through Jesus Christ we have destiny. So you take now and you invest it in eternity. Today is the day of salvation. Right now you can have the gift of eternal life. Trust Jesus with your eternity and then live each day of life with Jesus. And that brings us to our final thought. Today is the time to surrender your most precious gift to the Lord. You give Him your time. "God, I give you my life." And then He gives you the gift of eternity. Have you made that decision today? Most important decision that you can make. Steve, would you lead us in prayer?
Dear Lord, Father, we thank you for creating time. We thank you for giving us your time. We thank you for choosing us to be part of your time and being made in your own image. Help us now to take that gift of time that you've given, Father, and to be good stewards of it, that we would use our time not to glorify ourselves, but to glorify you and to lead others into your kingdom. Father, we love you. Thank you for the blessing of time. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.